Good evening, everyone. We're having a special class now, quick 10-minute class, about planning life. Rabbi Beryl Wein told us the following story when I was in his high school. He said that in the bar exam, when he was getting tested to be licensed as a lawyer, so after all the questions, there was another test. You were invited to come to a room. They'd give you a blank piece of paper and you had 5 minutes to sit alone and answer the following question. One question: what do you want to accomplish in life? So he received this paper and he spent the 5 minutes writing and then he handed it in. And when he handed it in, the person receiving the paper said, "Good for you." So he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You went in there and you didn't know what question was coming and you wrote and wrote and wrote." He said, "Some people go in there and they sit there thinking," and he said, "You'd be surprised how many people give it back blank." But the truth is that many people go through life and they don't ask themselves this question: what do I want to accomplish in life? And I want to discuss a formula tonight, and there's a system to the formula. I will explain it. People sometimes quote it to me backwards, but the formula is important. I recommend you take a piece of paper, and at the top of the paper, on the left side, you write 20 years from now. And then you start filling in that column, and you ask yourself, where do I want to be 20 years from now? So some of you might say, I want to have learned Tanakh. Some might say, I want to be at a place where I daven every day. Some might say, I want to be at a place where I've learned Shas Mishnayos. Some might say, I want to be at a place where I'm married and Bezat Hashem I have kids at a certain age. What are your goals for 20 years from now? It could be you'll tell me to have $50 million in the bank. You don't have to tell me, but you do have to tell yourself. And it's important to go in this order, to begin by writing 20 and thinking about it. Now, I've given this assignment to couples sometimes. Couples that are having a hard time making a decision what they're going to do next year, very often I tell them, I don't want you to decide about next year yet. I want you to decide about 20 years from now. After you've decided about 20 years from now, and only after you've decided about 20 years from now, then go on to part two of the assignment, which is write a next heading 10 years from now, and write your goals for 10 years from now. It's very important to go in this order. Very often we make our decisions about tomorrow, and when we think about where we want to be in 20 years, it's not really a clear vision. And when it's not a clear vision, we don't get there. If you tell yourself, my clear vision is in 20 years, I want to be at point X. Then when you look at 10 years from now, you're going to start asking yourself a realistic question: where do I want to be in 10 years from now? And fill that in. And only after you've finished filling in 10 years from now, go on to ask yourself, where do I want to be 5 years from now? Now, if people do the assignment the way they'd like to do it, which is by beginning with this question, then they mess up. Because if you begin with the question, where do I want to be 5 years from now, and you don't get your mind thinking about the long term, then the answer in 5 years from now is really an extension of the answer 6 months from now. And that's a mistake. What we're trying to undo is the mistake that many people make, which is they're very focused on what do I have to deal with tomorrow, what do I have to deal with next year, and they don't build a long-term plan. If you build a long-term plan, if you tell yourself, I want to, in 20 years from now, own. Let's look at the financial world. If you tell yourself in 20 years from now, I want to own X number of assets that will give me X number of income so that I will be able to not work at all or work less hard or whatever. So if you think about 20 and then 10 and then 5, then you'll build a good plan for the next 3 years. But if you begin by where do I want to be in 3 years, so then your answer might be, I want to go to Hawaii on vacation. In 3 years, I haven't gone to Hawaii ever in my life on vacation. So maybe that's where I want to go. And that's the mistake people make. People make their decisions stemming from the short term. We live in a day and age where people can expect Bezrat Hashem to live to 80 years old healthy and be productive till age 80. Many people at age 80, 85 are still productive and healthy. So you don't have to think your life is ending in a short number of years. No, you have a long time ahead of you. So you got to make plans for it. But I hope that your plans include your spiritual aspirations. Not only your materialistic aspirations, but in both fronts, it's important to begin with the 20-year mark. Where do I want to be in 20 years? And then ask yourself, where do I want to be in 10 years? And only then can you ask yourself the question, where do I want to be in 5 years? And after you've filled those three out, and only then should you ask yourself the question, where do I want to be 3 years from now? And then move on to 6 months from now. But now when you look at the question of where do I want to be 6 months from now, you will already be with the perspective of, where's my long-term goal? Wait, is my six-month goal supportive of my three-year goal, of my five-year goal, of my 10-year goal, of my 20-year goal? When am I going to start? When am I going to start working on my 20-year goal? And again, I see, again and again, I meet with young couples, and they're so focused on the question of what they should do next year. And that's not the most important question in their life. The more important question is, where am I going long term? And our short term decisions should have a great reflection on our long term goals. If I know, if I've defined my long term goals, then I will make the correct short term decisions. People very often give themselves leeway. I'll just get a degree here. I'll just spend 6 months working there. And I always say, why are you wasting time? Time is precious. You're young. You have the opportunity to gain experience. Get experience in a field you plan on working in long term. I don't want to see you in 3 years working cleaning floors for minimum wage. I want to see you with a good income in 3 years and 5 years and 10 years. And if you're working at a low income job in the next 6 months, it better be as either SOS, I have no choice, or I'm setting up the stage so that down the road I can do better. But that only works if I'm making a plan. You got to make a plan. And I can tell you that I did this. I have till today. It's already 20 years now. 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I was in my first year yeshiva. I was in Merkaz Harav 21 years ago. And when I left Merkaz Harav, I said to myself, I have to write myself a letter. I sat down and I wrote myself a letter 21 years ago, telling myself, where do you want to be in 21 years? And what are going to be your pitfalls? Be careful. These are your weaknesses. This is where you might err and fall. This is what you might end up doing instead of doing what you should be doing. So that's the first point. Set yourself up with long-term goals. When people set up their goal to make Aliyah, if they really set that as a goal, they make it here. The question is it a real goal? If it's a real goal, then I have no reason to buy myself a mansion in America. If it's a real goal, then I'm saving up all the time and I'm researching and my first opportunity, I'm going to buy a piece of property in Israel so that hopefully I can go live there, or at least I have a financial basis there. I'm working towards something. I'm giving one example. There are many examples. This involves, again, our financial world. It involves our spiritual world. So that's point number one. Make a long-term plan and work off of it. And the more details you could give to that long-term plan, the more you stand the chance of getting there. Now, that doesn't mean you have to work on, I'm going to live in that apartment, that floor, that building. That's already ridiculous. How do you know? Right? There's a level of detail that's ridiculous. However, there are many details that are not ridiculous. And the more you define for yourself what your goal is, and the more you keep reminding yourself where you want to get to, then you will, your drive and your focus will be in that direction. Then you stand a chance of getting there. So that's point number one. I highly recommend you do this more than once a year. But at least once a year. At least before Rosh Hashanah, as we're approaching Judgment Day, a person has to make this type of thought process. At least. I would recommend you do it more often. If a person every few months stops and gauges how much they've advanced and where they're headed, where they'd like to be headed, what do they really want to accomplish, then hopefully as time goes on, your long-term plan won't change, but you will see yourself getting closer to it. Yes?
What if a person toys always sins every year?
We all sin every year. My long-term goal might be to be a better person, but again, the fact that we all make transgressions and things that we regret, that's true. But again, where do we want to be? Are we advancing in that direction? I don't want to go off topic. I would like to address what you said separately. But I'm scared that if I address it, then that will become the focus, and I want to leave things in a more global sense. Point number two. And this I learned from one of our students. I don't remember who. One of our students told me the following line, and I've adopted it. I tell it to all the guys. He said when he left Machon Meir, he drew himself red lines. He said, I'm going back to university. I'm going to a secular environment. I know I'd like to daven with a minyan every day. I'd like to put on tefillin every day. I'd like to make sure that my Shabbos is with songs and spiritually uplifting. There are many things I'd like to have every day. But what are my red lines? And he said, for him, at the time, his red lines were, I think, marrying Jewish. He should never date a non-Jew. He should never risk marrying not Jewish. And I don't remember if there were other red lines. I don't know if he wrote on his list eating kosher and keeping Shabbos. I don't even know if he was holding at a place where those were his red lines. We'd like to think that should be a person's red lines, but I don't know if those were his red lines. And he said to me that on the day that he saw himself and he said, I don't know if I will marry Jewish. On the day that he saw his decline had reached a point where he was approaching his red line, he said, I have to leave. I promised myself I won't cross that red line, and that's when he made Aliyah. That's when he said, I have to leave. So the red lines don't have to be high. On the contrary, they have to be low. But they have to be at a place where you say, I'm not crossing that red line. I'd like to think, hopefully, that our students can draw their red lines at Shabbos, and hopefully some students are putting on tefillin every day, and hopefully at eating kosher, and at other mitzvot that should be integral to your identity. But that's very personal. You know, people grow at different stages. No one can... To draw your red lines too high is wrong. And you haven't accomplished anything. They have to be lines that you don't cross. So you have to decide where your red lines are. So that's the second point. Okay? We said point number one, long term, work off of long term to short term. We said point number two, draw red lines. And now, there's another question which I don't mind dealing with, and I want to address it as a separate class because I don't want it. These points are global. And your question is specific, so I'm going to start a new recording for that question.